conflict is not going to go away. In fact, arguably, we may need more conflicts in this world and not less, in the sense that wherever you see injustice or wrong, maybe that we need to start a conflict. The question is, can we create a container that's strong enough to contain that conflict so that it can be transformed into a constructive form like negotiation or dialogue or democracy, rather than have it turn into a form, a destructive form like violence and war? And that container is the third side. And the question is, you know, conflict is inevitable, but violence is not necessarily inevitable if we can construct that strong container.
Today we have several photos available to show you that would depict some of our efforts.
A press briefing at the Pentagon, October 2001.
First, I have a pre-strike image. This garrison has troops, tanks, armored and support vehicles, as well as other facilities. Next is the post-strike damage to those facilities.
Given widespread war-making and the persistence of ethnic conflict around the globe, peacemakers like Bill Ury often come up against a huge obstacle, the prevalence of deep pessimism when they attempt to bring about nonviolent solutions to festering problems.
I encounter it all the time, actually, whether it's in labor management situations or whether it's in ethnic conflicts, which is basically the idea that fighting, war, violence, it's all human nature. People have been fighting since the beginning of time. There'll always be fighting, so what can you do about it? And it's a paralyzing fatalism, and I think it actually is a fatal fatalism in the sense of it actually costs lives. I mean, we know, for example, that in the former Yugoslavia, the response by the West, by what could have been a third side preventive response to avoid that disaster, was in part paralyzed by the idea that was ceaselessly repeated in the media and also by the politicians, which was these people have been fighting for centuries and centuries with the clear implication that they're going to be fighting for centuries more, and what can you do about it? And that, first of all, the truth is they weren't fighting for centuries and centuries. Same thing happened in Rwanda, where a preventive response was easily possible. It was possible to save 800,000 lives from genocide if we'd been willing to believe that conflict was preventable. So it's critical that we re-examine our assumptions about human conflict and come around to the view that conflict is inevitable, but war and violence are not.
Pentagon officials said today American warplanes continued to hit 85% of their targets as they pounded Taliban positions across Afghanistan.
You know, we look in our history books, it's just one war after another. We look in the newspapers or on the media, that violence is continually there. The paradox is, you look in on the TV and you see violence all the time, but you walk down the street and most of the time, most of us are getting along. And it's not just here, it's in every part of the world that I've been, even in conflict-ridden countries. Most people get along and most nations are at peace with most nations. So once we put it in that context, it's not to deny the existence of violence and war on this face of the planet, far from it, but it's simply to realize that, in fact, peace is the norm. And what's fascinating to me as an anthropologist is looking back at the history that we base these assumptions on, is that what's fascinating is the archaeological record suggests that for the first 99% of our time on Earth, human beings actually lived much more through coexistence than they lived through coercion, which might then change, you know, the way in which we think about conflict and might say, you know, maybe it is possible. Maybe we do have the potential, the human natural potential to live in peace.